Plus, I am joined by, yep, still top of the league, a one-time winner. I'm gonna throw that out again. Top of the league, Mr. Tom Maxwell. Tom, how are you?
Hello, Andre. Happy Friday. Not Friday. It feels like it should be a Friday because I'm thinking too much about fantasy football. Happy on Wednesday.
Well, for me, it's Tuesday, and we've got the deadline late today. So yeah, I need to get through this. So I've got some serious tinkering to do.
Let's get cracking. We've got another member of the pod.
We have school is in for those of us at the bottom half of the table. First, we had number one and number two slobber knocking at the top of the league, doing a Manager of the Month podcast. And well, 30 days later, Dylan says, "Hold my beer." In he comes with a storming month of November. And so, pens and paper at the ready. Dylan, welcome to the pod. How are you?
All good, boys. Thanks for having me on. A good month, and no complaints, I guess.
Mate, it's great to have you. Looking forward to delving into this month. Did you know early on that this was a month you were going to be able to target? Like, when did you realize it's on?
I probably realized it was on when on the last podcast you guys had mentioned it's on. So I had a look at the table. It was pretty touch and go. I think there's only sort of 2 points in it in the end. Always nice to get a manager of the month. Always good to win something, I guess.
It's good to know we have a listener. That's fantastic. I know. I apologies to anyone that we've caused. The reason I say it like that is, listener, to save you scrolling through other listeners, save you scrolling through. It didn't start well. So the month starts in game week 11, and Dylan comes out with a Haaland captaincy one pointer. He has a un the often unseen back five, so 5-4-1, and a bench that has Gordon 7 points and Archer 9. So I asked the question fairly facetiously because I don't think after game week 11, 35 points against the world average of 32, you were thinking, yes, I am quid in for this month.
I think it's hard to know how the month's going to pan out early doors, and I think you can start really brightly, and then you think yes, you're in, or you can start really badly and roll it forward 3 weeks. I think there's a fairly short game. A fairly short month, was it, because of the international break as well? So you're always probably in with a shout with them if you can have 2 decent weeks out of maybe 3 or 4.
Fair enough. So, shall we get into the decent week? Tom, do you want to take over in week 12?
12 and 30. I mean, 12 certainly was the clincher, and was the week that you couldn't pick a wrong captain between Salah and Haaland, but the Shimakas 15 pointer was the real difference. Have you held him throughout?
Yeah, the minute
No.
that Robertson got injured, I thought he'd be a decent enough pick. And then obviously it'd be nice if Haaland had a blank that week, just have a bit of a differential. But the guy's just a machine, isn't he? So if you're banking on a Haaland blank, then odds are not in your favour, I don't think.
No, it's very true. I remember being on Haaland cap that week, getting to the last game of the season after Salah's already hauled. It was seat of the pants stuff. And then the final week of the month, which saw you, I mean, literally nick it on the line, was 2 weeks ago, and it was mainly Anthony Gordon that I think got you over the line there, who again has been a great long-term pick for you.
Again, I think there's something about Harvey Barnes being injured for quite a period of time. It looked like he was going to get a few starts, and he's been probably the difference throughout the month, in actual fact. He's been a point machine for the last few weeks, which is no bad thing.
And your transfers have been points machines for quite a time as well. I'm looking through, like going back even to the start of October. So, listener, some of these transfers, Rashford to Son, obviously a great move. I look back to find when you brought Shimikas in. That was for Estupinan back in game week 9. And Bueno went out. That sounds dodgy, but in came Salah. So you've only had him since literally the week before the month we're now talking about. In came Van de Ven, and then your transfers for November. Yes, it was a short month, but Van de Ven injured out for Lascelles, who gets you a goal. You have a player I don't know the name of in Kaminski that you had, but he went out for Areola, so I guess that's a goalkeeper. I mean, I'm playing the same game, I think. Matomo went for Ward-Prowse, which was a mixed transfer overall. And then finally, this week, you've taken out Son and brought in Saka. So net positive after all those transfers. So help those of us that are struggling. How do you go about it? You've mentioned a couple of different injuries there that spurred your transfers. What's your analysis? How do you get your team together?
I try to have a look at some of the fixtures come in, but it never quite works out how you'd hope. Like the Son for Saka. I should have known that Son had scored goals against City. He always does, but panicked probably about half an hour before the deadline, hoping for a Saka hat-trick, and it wasn't to be. But I think it's a mixture of panicking, and I'd like to think a little bit of thought process, but probably not. I think it's more just a bit of luck, more than anything. take it when you can.
Fair enough.
Dylan, looking back, and then we might look forward, you had an extraordinary start to the season. I think you were, where were you? 75,000th in the world after game week one, 17,000th after game week two. And then it was a pretty meteoric drop off over the next 4 or 5 weeks, and then coming back from there. So it's been always quite difficult when you start that well and go backwards, but you seem to have rallied. That start of the season, though, must have been pretty extraordinary. 70k in the world after 2 weeks is remarkable.
Yeah, a good start, and very much a sort of a Tottenham Hotspur mentality of winning the season sort of 4 or 5 games in. But yeah, I think it's very hard to lead from the front. And in this sort of no cash, no code league as well, if you have even sort of a slightly above average week sort of worldwide, you can find yourself sort of picking up red arrow after red arrow after red arrow. And next thing you know, you're positively sort of salt and pepper mid-table, offering nothing basically. So yeah,
I
nice start.
Give my left arm for mid-table. I was going to ask you, what is your affiliation? You don't seem to have it on your. I mean, I wouldn't either if I was a Spurs fan. But your FPL doesn't actually register what is your affiliation. I did think when the Sun came out that's a very, very Spurs fan thing to do. I've got two questions I want to ask. One is one of my favourites, which is, do you have any no-go players? Like, obviously, you don't have the, I'm not going to pick players from my own team. So is there anyone that's burnt you so badly, or you just have a negative view and you can't hold? Or are you much more, how do I put this? Tom Maxwell flip-floppy on Salah, like, when it comes to points, mean more than anything else to you?
I think I'm very much in the flip-flop category. I'm more than willing to trust more than once, more than twice. I don't know if there's ever a player that's consistently let me down. Matty Cash hasn't been great since I brought him in. He was a world beater. He came into my team. He's been pretty poor since. But no, I wouldn't say there's any player in particular that I stay away from or have to pick, I don't know. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not. Yeah, it depends, doesn't it?
Tom, do you have one? A player that you just won't go near?
Well, it's been Salah for 2 years, but he's always in my team. It's an absolute fraud. He scores last minute tap-ins when the opposition have got 10 men in the opposition box, and he scores penalties, and that's about it. Which I realise, given his XG and his assist this year, is not a great take. But no, I can't.
I don't know. I watched the last game live, and I haven't watched an awful lot of Liverpool games. The man just goal hangs for the last 15 minutes, regardless of what the structure is or the score. Like, your words of him being a tapping merchant on WhatsApp really did spring to mind. Watching him just, how he managed to snag an assist for that is just unbelievable.
Fair enough.
Cool. But two more bits for you, Dylan. I know listeners heard from you before, but it's been a little while. So how did you find No Cash, No Code? Why are you part of this this league?
I got into the league through Noel, who's sort of saying, if you think you're decent at No Cash, No Code, then then put your money where your mouth is kind of thing. Since then, Noel's been sort of welded bottom of the table, which is always good to see. And then, yeah, it's just the legacy of the Token House, I guess. Hugo obviously doing really well this year. He's a firm favourite of the nickname Podfather. He's getting well stuck into it this year. I keep looking over his screen and seeing sort of Excel spreadsheets, and I've been thinking it's just about how he's going to pay his commission and all the rest of it. I'm now thinking he's got some sort of XG, XA, Athletic sort of subscription. He's up to no good, because this is a complete surprise, I think. It's the surprise package of the season, without a doubt.
I love that. I should have called the last one the Podfather, by the way. That was such a great line. I did spit tea when I heard that one. I set you up. I really wanted to ask that question because what does it feel like? Aren't you the reigning defending Token House champion at the moment? Like, does Hugo make you tea? Does Yanis bring you toast? Like, what happens when you got that title?
Absolutely nothing. I think it's just because Yanis has not got the bandwidth to focus on this and the myriad of other things he has on. Hugo historically has just not been bothered. He just had to beat Noel. Noel's not been that bothered. He just had to beat Hugo. and it's a little bit like, well, it's been the least worst. It's not necessarily a reflection of ability, but by the same token, you probably don't want to lose it. And this year, Hugo is he's scaring me a little bit. I'm not a fan of this this newfound form of his at all.
Oh, it's great to see
how into his team I am. Like every week, I look at his team without Salah and just triple City, triple Arsenal, double Liverpool. I just absolutely love everything he's doing. And I'm so confident he's outsourcing it to someone else. There's no way he's doing that himself.
You know what? I don't agree, because while I would like to believe that, and I know he has done that previously, he has got form on his first ever visit to No Cash, No Code. Everything you said is true. But then it's the other players that only Hugo would go with. He's had Douglas Luiz forever. What is a Tielemans doing in the team? Like, what year are we in?
The Tielemans manoeuvre is ridiculous. I think Tom had said that he's got the most differentials in his team, and I just don't think that's the kind of thing you'd do if you're outsourcing it. It's so ridiculous that it's got to be him, and it's working a treat. So all
and it's
power
the bench.
To him.
How have you got a Ruben Diaz? Like, how have you got that much money? A 5.5 million defender. You're happy to not pick. I know, but it's like
you've got 5 million more quid in your bank account.
Well, I've got Salah. That's not worth me. But no, I agree with you. It's the fact that he's willing to have a 5 million. Like most of us, I mean, maybe it's just me, but I find the price of a player definitely affects my ability to sit them. To have comfortably, I know he's got Trippier as well, but to have a defender of that much cash and go, no, I'm going to go Tielemans, Douglas Luiz, Aston Villa, Axis instead, for me is just, it's mind-blowing. And that's why I think there's no robot, there's no storied manager. Like, even the true differentialers, like your good self, Maxwell, aren't going to go for those. So I would like to believe it is a combination between osmosis, he's been in that yard for so long now, and just throwing a dart. board. But anyway, it's not about Hugo, it's very much about you. It's your time in the sun, Dylan. Gonna put you on the spot while you're with the current number one of the table. What's your ambition, and where do you think you're gonna finish this year?
It's hard to say because the league's so tight. You know, you look at the table and you're sort of 27 points off top and you think, you know, there's a chance, but 27 points the other way and you're in 11th or something ridiculous. So if you can pick up a few awards, do well in the cup, I think that'd be a decent enough season, because the standards between sort of Tom and Damien and Freddie, who are always there or thereabouts, and some of the guys that have not necessarily sort of up there at the minute, who have been historically very good, very consistent. I'm more worried about people over my shoulder probably than the people ahead of me, which
That's
is
sort of attitude I like to hear. Defeated.
Understated is what I'm hearing. There's a nice segue in there actually to an announcement I wanted to make on this week's pod. So no cash, no code. Obviously the cup is one of the things that keeps us involved, and it's got nothing to do with the fact I'm clearly hoping to aim for up for the cup with my season now, but we will be going with two cups this season. We're going to go with the one the league runs by itself, but we've missed the draws. It's been the biggest feedback I've had in terms of what's missing in our league. So we're going to go with two cups, so two chances to win. It's the largest attendance we've had in No Cash, No Code. And so taking some of that entry money, we're just going to create another cup prize. So stay tuned over the coming weeks. The draw will be in early January, and we'll do the usual format of every couple of weeks a cup game. So there's even more to play for. So awesome. Dylan, really enjoyed that. Please stick around after the break and let's get into the week that was game week 14. Gentlemen, we are back and now let's get into what a week that was. I'm joined by two of the top three. Damien, shout out. Sorry that you're not here. It feels a bit weird, actually. But we're joined by two of the top three as we're going to pick the bones on a week that happened literally seconds ago and get ready for a week that's about to happen in a few seconds' time. So, Tom, it's not a long time ago, but please remind us what happened in the games on the weekend.
Oh, it was a weekend of goals, Andre, is what it was, particularly Sunday, where there wasn't a single clean sheet to be seen out of the 10 teams that played, which is continuing a trend of trying to find defenders who can keep clean sheets being being rather tricky. So on Saturday, we had Arsenal winning, somehow only scoring twice and then conceding, which would have frustrated those who had piled into the Arsenal team, but another good 3 points. We had a big win for Burnley against Sheffield United. Not too many players owned from Burnley. I still have their stricken striker on my bench, who's just taking a bit of time out of the game. We wish him well. Love him to come back soon. And then the evening game, Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0. Those of us on double defence, delighted when United's basically only shot of the game was deflected in off Harry Maguire, but he was offside. Trippier with all the points, as per usual. Anthony Gordon continuing his remarkable run of home form. I think that's four in a row for him. And then Sunday, Ollie Watkins, I think probably the story of the weekend. Will he play? Won't he play? He did play. He did score. Assist for him as well. Top point scoring striker in the week. A week that plenty of people had taken him out of their team, mainly for Darwin, who did everything but score in an extraordinary 4-3 win against Fulham. Nice to see the ghost of Trent Alexander-Arnold reappearing. Chelsea somehow got over the line against Brighton, despite once again shooting themselves in both feet. Conor Gallagher's red card. Points finally for Enzo, who has threatened to score some points this season without doing so. And then the game of the weekend, it was always going to be the game of the weekend, wasn't it? Man City, Spurs, 3-3, an absolute humdinger. Son, another man who people had taken out of their team once again, scoring at both ends this time, in fact. But big old haul for him. Haaland, just the one return this week, could have had more. 3-3, absolute belter. Title race continues to be nicely open. So it was a week of lots and lots of goals and quite decent points hauls, albeit with that number of goals, you might have expected to see some teams in the 80s or 90s. Are you happy for me to crack on with team of the week?
Yeah, but quickly just over to Dylan. How do you feel your week went in general, Dylan, for game week 14?
A bit of a mixed bag, I think, as Tom mentioned. Son having a mighty haul, deciding for the Son out, Saka in, wasn't one of my best moves. But generally speaking, just a pretty average week in a very competitive league. But yeah, not too bad, not too good, I guess.
58, average was 54. There's some points on the bench, but everyone has points on the bench this week that we're going to talk about. So yeah, over to you then, Tom. Please talk us through who did better with their teams.
So we had four players over 70. Myself and Freddie Williams, 70-71. But really, we're talking about a top two here this week. And it just gives me great pleasure to be talking about Andre Clarke in a positive light in months. The top point scorer, only person to break 80, was Rob Leach, a man who we talked a lot about over the months on the pod, but maybe a little bit quieter in recent weeks. 82 in total for him. Trippier and Gordon getting it done. Son and Saka getting it done. Great transfer. Diaby to Gordon. Got that win in nice and early. I must have been, I'm looking at myself but this week. But the kick, and he had Watkins, but the kicker with Rob, what makes this a very hard decision for Team of the Week is the fact that he triple captained Haaland. Now, why he decided to do that, I don't know. Maybe he just really, really doesn't like Spurs. But
he is a Spurs fan. Yeah. So, emotional hedge.
He didn't fancy Spurs, or he was doing the ultimate hedge. But despite some open goal misses, Haaland only ended up with 7 points, 21 in total for him. Given that we're going to be expecting double game weeks further on in the season, it's hard to believe that that is the best use of that chip that he could have come up with. And, you know, as I've been accused of in recent weeks, the bar has been set very, very high for Team of the Week. And so I'm going to give it to Andre Clarke.
No way.
If Rob Leach had not triple captained Haaland, he would have been the equal top point scorer of the week, and I would have had to have given it to him just because it was against you. But without it, you guys would have been level. And, you know, it was just a very good week, Andre, for a man who has just sent me so many negative WhatsApp messages over the past few months, to the point that I almost don't want to message you anymore because it's really bumming me out. But it was kept Watkins in, held your nerve on that. Son and Saka both to the party. Alvarez with an assist. Even Shimakasi brought in for cash, outscored him, so it was the correct transfer. 75 points, really, really good week. So I'm going to give you Team of the Week.
Thank you. Much needed. Much needed for the confidence in this part of the world right now. Rice to meet you has really struggled. I'm surprised. I think you discounted someone for Team of the Week last week for having some dirt on their bench. So I knew I was in contention, but I thought that might have cost me. But let's not like sniff at your own team there. 71 points while top of the league. You say I held my nerve, but I mean, obviously I know my team better than anyone else does. I was definitely hovering on the Watkins out. And if it wasn't for the fact I was more certain Cash wouldn't start, then Watkins wouldn't. It could be a very, very different team. I was never going to go with Darwin in the same reason that I've never believed in Nicholas Jackson. But I definitely could have been in one of those less fortunate transfers, which we're going to talk about later. How close were you? Did you roll or what was your transfer?
I rolled. I texted you beforehand saying, thoroughly expecting a red arrow with no Saka and only one Liverpool. And that may come to fruition this week where both of those teams have also got very good game weeks, but to end up with a big green arrow, having rolled a transfer and going into obviously a part of the season where you're going to need some bench options, and I currently don't have any, couldn't have been much happier. And I had to give you Team of the Week despite Taylor, otherwise I would have had to have given it to myself. And
so you thought about it. Cool, that's good to know. All right, that's a good overview. Let's get into some, I guess, more minutia detail, shall we? Can I pick this one up? I'm going to go with the pick of the week.
Yes, so, please.
You mentioned that the story of the week is probably Watkins. I think for a fair few of us, I think it's about seven or eight of us, the story actually was Burnley. It was that 5-0 game because Burnley assets, as you said quite rightly earlier, are not coveted, not wanted around these parts. And yet, I have Taylor on the bench for an early scorer in the game week for an awful lot of points. And I'm one of five people to have been had to step through an entire game week. Will Watkins play? Will he not? And all the other bits that go around. Now, listener, we always do the same thing. I always do the same thing pick of the week. I go through all of the highest scorers. And it's a really, really boring week because all the highest scoring point scorers just don't exist in fantasy football. I mean, we're talking about names that you literally have to Google to find out who they play for. Bentley somehow gets 8 points as the Wolves goalkeeper. Yes, Wolves lost 2-1, but he came on before the 60th minute, so technically he got a clean sheet and bonus points. Unsurprisingly, no one was the owner of Bentley, and no one is this week either, despite all the goalkeeper transfers. Ben Mee had 14, Trent Alexander 13. Like, no one has those guys, just too expensive or haven't been consistent enough. Tomiyasu, who's ruining my team by suddenly deciding to have a resurgence, thanks for that, with 11 points. Enzo, he nicked the penalty, which was one of my highlights of the week, to be honest, to watch Palmer coming on, blocking bench points left, right and centre, and not getting his weekly tap-in from the inside the 18-yard box. Kulusevski, surprisingly not owned by anyone. Gordon, owned by too many. There is a player called Amdouni over at Burnley. I believe he's a forward because the game says he is. And then you got Watkins. So none of those are going to be troubling the scorers when it comes to the pick of the week. So, pick of the week, I'd love, 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 love to give it to Phil Pemberton. Of the six Taylor owners, only Phil Pemberton actually chose to start Taylor. So he went into the first game week, first game of the game week, already with 10 in the bag. And it's fantastic that he had the courage of his convictions to go with him in the only fixture you should be choosing a Burnley defender. I'm not kicking myself at all. It's fine. However, he's been pipped by another Burnley defender. We have one Bayer owner in the league, and that one Bayer owner started him. Gentlemen who are on this podcast, be nervous. We have a resurgent Stephen Hill, and we have a resurgent, no, it's not a resurgent. This is the time he always does this. Freddie is starting his engines. 11-point Bayer in his starting lineup intentionally. Be afraid, be very afraid. Freddie gets, for me, pick of the week for having the highest scoring defender in a game that no one would have said that would happen at the start of the season. How is Freddie feeling, Tom?
Couldn't agree more. I imagine very happy because he's held on to his Burnley and Sheffield United players for far too long, in my view. Despite starting Archer again this week, which there's got to be serious question marks over your squad rotation if you're playing Archer up front every week. I think that's 3 weeks in a row maybe he started. But Bayer, you know, if there's one game you're going to play, I mean, it's Sheffield United, and 11 points for a 2% owned player is absolutely worthy of pick of the week.
I promise not to bang on about myself any longer after this one, but I'm 30 places behind someone who's starting Archer. These are like, it's real come to Jesus moments around these parts. Dylan, can you tell us a story? When have you had a situation where you've had your Bayer or your Taylor or something similar on the bench and you've been rooting for them to come off? And has it ever gone your way?
I try not to remember them, honestly, Andrew. it's a weekend sickness when you're looking at your bench and you've got 15, 16, someone's had the game of their life and you're just begging whoever it is that's on the starting 11, just please don't come on. And then they come on sort of, you know, the 89th minute sub just to take in some of the applause, and it's a real sickener. I try not to think about the specifics because it's a real weekend ruiner, or a midweek ruiner in this case.
You literally just described Ben White against Wolves, so thanks. Right, so oh dear. All right, so let's do the rest of them. There's an awful, awful lot of hurt. Tom, would you like to go first, or can I pose?
Why don't you go first? Well, I think there are two. There are two in my mind.
All right. Firstly, you've got the transfers. Let's start there. The two most transferred out players both play for Aston Villa. 11 managers took out Watkins. 5 managers to count Diaby. You can't say Diaby was a bad decision because he didn't start, but that's a lot of points that are left behind. You've got bench points on bench points. Nick is my personal favourite in those. So he is contender number one for her because, I mean, there's bench points. We've just talked about it. Why are you playing a Burnley? You've done something wrong if you're choosing to start a Burnley defender. Like, it's just the way that your transfers have worked out. You did not look at the fixture ticket at the start of the season and go, can't wait for game week 14 and Burnley's defence at home against Sheffield United. So I can't blame you if you go to those points. It's just unfortunate. However, Nick, this is quite I don't think we've seen this before in terms of bench points. He's chosen to sit Son, of all people. I mean, that's quite punchy, as far as I can tell. You've got, there we go, I just got him up on my screen. He's got the highest bench total of this game week. Alvarez and Son don't make it into his starting lineup. I'm not one to judge from where I am right now, obviously, but Hoyland, Ward-Prowse, I mean, Dylan, you're flying right now. I'll give you a chance. Would you, what do you think the thought process is between an Alvarez and a Son benching for a Hoyland and a Ward-Prowse?
You've got to think he's been on the sauce, haven't you? There's no thought process behind it. God knows what he was thinking. But you know, maybe he just wanted to get a mention on the pod, and that could be the only other thing.
Tom, any thoughts?
No, I mean it makes me feel quite ill physically, and as someone whose bench includes Foster, who's having some time out, Lamptey, who's currently injured, and McTominay, the idea that you even have a squad that allows for those two to be on the bench, plus two a Palace goalkeeper and a Palace defender, that's what happens when you play the full squad game, I'm afraid, and it may well help him as we get through Christmas, but no,
he's a Man United fan. So it's not even like it was like an emotional hedge that's involved. You can't have looked at that game and thought, low scorer, definitely not picking either of these two. Like, one is excusable. You've got a conviction. Man City's going to batter them. I can live with that. But both, that's madness. However, Nick, who I've known since university days, he joined the league simultaneously. He actually brought someone else, a friend of mine, into the league that I hadn't seen in years, and that's Kinder Man. And those two are my two nominees for Hurt. Because while Nick has... I mean, he's AWOL effectively as a manager. You've got Kinder. Kinder transferred out Watkins. That's no crime. He transferred him out for Haaland. He's the only person who transferred out Watkins for a positive net, you would imagine. Like, you've got 7 points, so behind Watkins, but still a striker. You can understand why you're bringing him into team and that. So sounds like it's not too bad, but how do you go from Watkins to Haaland? It's going to take some kashish. Tom, do you want to tell the listener how he funded that?
I think he must have mistaken this player for the 1990s, potentially. Because he's brought in Cliver, but not the ghost of once great striker, but presumably his offspring, who is playing occasionally on the wing for Bournemouth, but absolutely not starting very many games, 0% own, straight on the bench. You know, he's been very brave to go without Haaland, and I've seen teams who have done very well without Haaland. Just feels like a really odd decision that's the moment to bring him in when he's also blanking. He's not playing in 3 weeks' time. And he's doubled down by also replacing Johnston, his goalkeeper, with Flecken from Brentford, who is also blanking in 3 weeks' time. So
you buried the lead. He's done that, but he needed cash. It's Son to Cliver. He's taken out. So his points out is Watkins 10, Watkins 11, Son 10, to bring in Haaland, the ghost of Clivert past, and a keeper that's not going to be playing, who's also benched. It is a massive... I mean, he's got a great team. He's got a great starting 11. Like, a fair play to him in that respect, but a minus net 17 on transfers. So Nick Mick with the Son benching.
Plus the minus four. You've got... minus four.
Oh, plus the minus four. Oh, of course. Oh, he's in a 21 club. So who are we giving it to between... I mean, these two are great friends, clearly competing for the award. They've got their moment in the sun. With a minute to go on the pod, who are we giving it to? Is it the transfers or is it the unbelievable benching for Nick Mick?
It's got to be the transfers because... To bring Haaland in, and in doing so, sort of ruin your own team and the individual week, I think is far worse than having a group of players who are going to come in next week and probably do really well. So it's a double whammy for me.
For me, it could have been close, but it's the minus four. It's the fact you've spent money, you spent points to actually have the pleasure of watching your team going completely the wrong direction. Dylan, anything you want to add, or can we crown Kinder the winner for this week?
I think Kinder's got it. If you'd said, does Cliver play for Bournemouth? I would have said that's a trick question. Absolutely not. I had no idea that he was at the club. Yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. A four-point hit, bringing absolute chaff. No, that's hurt of the week, sure.
I think I can still tick the box, non-parental advisory. Chaff makes it, that's cool. We're through. Congratulations, Kinder. Boys, that was good fun. I've got some serious tinkering to do. If anyone's got any inside information on how injured Tomiyasu is, I could really appreciate it. Dylan, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to having you on when you win your next one.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me, lads.
Great stuff,
Tom. Great fun. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.